étant donné qu'on n'a pas beaucoup de temps, je vais profiter de l'installation de la machinerie pour présenter le prochain intervenant, donc Nick Effingham. Donc Nick Effingham est chargé d'enseignement à l'université de Birmingham. Il travaille autour des questions entourant la métaphysique des propriétés, des objets matériels et de la philosophie du temps, notamment le problème du voyage dans le temps. Nick conduit également des travaux en philosophie de la religion. Il publiera en 2020 un ouvrage chez Oxford University Press intitulé « Time Travel, Probability and Impossibility ». Sa conférence, qu'il donnera donc en anglais, j'imagine, s'intitule « The Wave Theory of Time ».
Thank you very much. First of all, thank you for having me here. It's been a delight to be here and be invited here. And I will have to apologize, like Robin, for having to deliver my talk in English. My French is not up to delivering a talk on metaphysics, unfortunately. So today I'm going to talk about the wave theory of time. It's effectively a new theory, or at least I think it's a new theory. Maybe it isn't. Maybe somebody will correct me, in the metaphysics of time. And the talk's just going to have three parts. First, I'm going to give a very brief preamble on the existing theories. Then I'm going to explain to you what wave theory is, and then I'll give you the motivations for that theory. So the preamble. So the way I see the metaphysics of time is that there are two basic questions, two dimensions to the debate. First of all, what exists? And secondly, is the world fundamentally tensed? When we ask what exists, we're asking whether presentism is true, whether eternalism is true, whether growing block theory is true, are there past and future things? When we ask whether the world is fundamentally tensed, whether at the fundamental level there are any tensed facts, we've got two sides. We've got the tensed theory that says yes, the fundamental level includes tensed facts, and then we've got the tenseless theory, either the fundamental level has no temporal facts or has only tenseless temporal facts. When we take the, just one note, I'll be generally assuming the wave theory is a tense theory of time. I'll generally be assuming that the tense theory is true. Not because I necessarily think that it is true, but it's merely the easiest way to explain and to motivate the theory, to see why we might want to believe it. When we pair these theories together, we get the well-recognized theories. When you have the tense theories, presentism, growing block theory, moving spotlight, if you endorse a tenseless theory, well, you're going to end up with something like eternalism. Contentious, but that's what I'll say. So that's the basic preamble of the existing theories. Recently, a new family of theories have started to come up. I call these pseudo-presentist theories. Pseudo-presentist theories say that the world is tensed. They agree that the world is tensed. But they say that only some things are limited to having a merely present existence. Only some things presently exist. It is, in fact, the case that some non-present things exist as well. We might have in mind the idea that space-time exists, that there's future and past regions of space-time, so presentism is false. But at the present moment, you will only ever find material objects. The material objects you find will only ever be at the present moment. So you've got an eternalist space-time, but presentist objects moving through it. It's a pseudo-presentist theory. Wave theory is also a pseudo-presentist theory. It says that past and future things exist, but there's a certain special category of things which only presently exist. To understand what wave theory is, it's easiest to start by looking at the other two other theories, eternalism and moving spotlight. So eternalism, we've got space on one dimension, time on the other, and the eternalist will say that back in the past, there's these space-time worms, which are the dinosaurs. Then a little while later, there's two other space-time worms, of many other space-time worms that there are, Napoleon and Josephine. These are the examples I always use, not just merely because I've given a talk in Paris. I'm not just sucking up. And then you've got a worm, which is Nick Effingham. So that's a kind, and lots of other worms besides, but they're the space-time worms that exist on the eternalist picture. If you're moving spotlight theorist, traditionally the view of that theory is that you accept the eternalist view, but you add in that a particular moment is special, a particular moment is present. And as time goes by, that present moment will move forwards. All good and well. Wave theory is a lot like moving spotlight theory. It accepts the same ontology in many ways that the eternalist accepts. It accepts that these worms exist. It says and agrees that the worms exist. But it doesn't say that they're the dinosaurs. It doesn't say that that's Napoleon and Josephine and Nick Effingham. Those hunks of matter exist, according to the wave theorist. Absolutely. And indeed, the wave theorist agrees with the moving spotlight theorist that a certain moment in time is special. A certain moment in time is special, and it will move through time as time passes by. What they add, the special thing, the extra special thing that they add, is that the instantaneous slices of those worms that they agree exist, the instantaneous slices, when they become present, they constitute further objects. They constitute the everyday objects that we know. They constitute the dinosaurs in this case. When the moving spotlight reaches there, those instantaneous slices constitute Napoleon. They constitute Josephine. And later on in the day, different instantaneous slices will constitute Napoleon and constitute Josephine. And now you've got this worm that has always existed, and at this exact moment in time, a particular slice of it is lit up by the present moment. And that particular slice constitutes Nick Effingham, constitutes the person you see before you. So everyday objects only ever presently exist, but lots of other objects exist in the past and future. It's kind of an amalgam of the moving spotlight, presentism, eternalism. Eternalism is, strictly speaking, false on this view, because there are things which used to exist which exist no longer, the dinosaurs, Napoleon and Josephine. And presentism is also clearly false. But something very similar to those two theories is true. It's a pseudo-presentist theory. In addition to these everyday objects, the slice of space-time that is special can also constitute something. Not just the slices of the material objects, but the slice of space-time itself. It can constitute the present moment, now. And now we get what we often talk about, the present moment moving forwards through time. On the wave theory, that's literally true. There is a moment constituted by space-time that is itself moving forwards. So I call this the wave theory of time, because in many ways, things are moving through time the same way that a wave moves through an ocean. You have blobs of reasonably stationary water, I know not completely stationary, but reasonably static water, and the wave moves through them, being constituted by different blobs of water as they undergo certain changes, in the case of water, being curved. Objects are like waves through these hunks of matter, illuminated by the moving spotlight. So that's the basics of the theory, and I think it's a new theory. As I say, maybe someone will correct me. When I say constitution, I just want to sketch two bits of the theory so we can clarify exactly what's going on. When I say constitution, I have in mind that relation that we have when we discuss the statue and the lump of clay. So philosophers often talk about there being a lump of clay, call it L, that is statue-shaped. And some philosophers, a reasonable enough proportion for us to take them seriously, constitutionalists, say that the statue and the lump of clay are distinct. They are different things. And the lump of clay constitutes the statue. After all, they have different properties. They have different persistence properties because the lump has lasted longer than the statue. They have different modal properties. They have different aesthetic properties because lumps of clay are not Gothic, classic, or Romanesque, whilst statues are Gothic, classical, and Romanesque. So because they've got different properties, they have to be distinct. They're two different things. we should say that one constitutes the other. I am suggesting that the wave theorist takes that same relation and then deploys it here in their philosophy of time. That is what I think is going on. Another note. What is the relationship between presentness and constitution on this view? We get two options. On one option, the constitutional facts determine what's present. What is present is determined by where these constitutional facts occur. Some time is present because the instantaneous objects of that time constitute the everyday objects. Alternatively, we might say that presentness is irreducible. And instead, presentness explains constitution. Rather than the constitution explaining why now is present, now being present explains why these hunks of matter constitute further things. It's only a small note, but I think it is worth noting that I think we should go with option two. One reason why we'll see briefly, and I'll refer back to this slide, and we will see why I think we should go for option two. Another reason which I won't go through in this talk is that it deals with some problems by Kit Fine. What I'm not saying is that constitutionalist view explains the tense nature of time. I'm not saying that this is a theory which explains presentness or explains the tensed facts. The tensed facts help play a role in this theory, but it is not itself a theory of tensed facts and tensed truth. Okay, so it's very nice having a theory of time that we may not have come across before, but the question has to be, why should we believe this theory of time? What might motivate it? Well, I'll sketch some reasons as to why you might be attracted to this theory of time. Firstly, it captures the movement of things through time. We talk as if things move forwards through time. Clearly, on the wave theory, that is exactly what is going on. Literally and in every sense, objects are moving through time, just as objects might move through space in a very directly analogous fashion. So we have, there's Napoleon and Josephine, later on, they've moved forwards in time. Those objects have moved, in the same way that a wave moves across the ocean, we move forwards through time. So this captures the way that we sometimes talk about things moving through time. I think it captures it better than, say, standard eternalism. So on standard eternalism, things move through time, but only in the sense that they're here at this point and here at this point. But that's not really a species of movement. That's not really a type of movement. Take Indonesia. At the moment, Indonesia, so if you don't know, Indonesia straddles both hemispheres. At the moment, Indonesia is in the northern hemisphere, and therefore, at this moment, it's in the southern hemisphere. But we don't think Indonesia has moved. It's not a genuine type of movement. Same with their view on objects and time. I don't think they're genuinely moving through time on the standard eternalist view. Other views do also capture the movement of things through time. Presentism, pseudo-presentist views, I think they also allow objects to move through time. So you might think the wave theory isn't particularly better in this regard. It's just one of many theories that's going to do the same thing. But what makes it a little bit different is that it includes the present moment. Presentism, it's not clear to me that it has room for the present moment. When other theorists talk about the present moment moving, I think they just mean by that that the world is tensed. When the wave theorist says that the present moment is moving, they mean that in a literal and straightforward sense, there is a present moment. It is moving through time. It is moving forwards. So that's one reason to be a wave theorist. You can truly capture what we mean when we talk about things moving through time in a way that the other metaphysical theories of time cannot. The other two motivations are aimed at people who are already tense theorists. If you're already a tense theorist, you may well find wave theory to be an attractive theory. Let's start with the presentist. Imagine you're a presentist. I think there's some good reasons to come to believe wave theory. First, I think it's going to do two of the things the presentists already want their metaphysical theory to do. They want it to capture certain intuitions. They want it to answer the problem of temporary intrinsics. And I think wave theory can do the same. And then what it'll do better will be providing truth makers. Our big bugbear for presentism is that we don't have truth makers. So it'll prove attracted to presentism because it does some of the things they want a theory to do that they thought presentism was doing, and it'll do better by delivering the truth makers. Let's quickly sketch those three things in detail. Sketch them in detail? Maybe that's a contradiction. So presentist, if you meet someone who is a presentist, if you meet a convinced presentist and you ask them why they're a presentist, they'll say that they believe that what presently exists, well, they'll say that that's true because, you know, there's these intuitions they have that non-present things don't exist. Or maybe they'll say non-present material objects don't exist. Maybe the Platonists. So they believe in Platonic objects which don't presently exist, but they believe they exist. They narrow it down by instead shifting to two. Or maybe they just simply say something like Napoleon, who lived long ago and has died, he doesn't exist. And similarly for all the other past and future objects. And that's why I'm a presentist, because I want to capture that intuition. I suspect that most presentists don't really distinguish between these intuitions. They think they're all saying more or less the same thing. But they're not. It's possible to believe some of these things, not these other things, as the pseudo-presentist will attest to. In our case, the wave theorist will say that they accept thee, but they deny one and two. They say that Napoleon doesn't exist. You got that absolutely right. He does not in any sense exist. And similarly for the dinosaurs, and one day similarly for me. But nevertheless, there do exist some non-present things. There are some non-present material objects. We might want to question that once we recognize that these intuitions are different, we might start to suspect that it's very difficult to tell the difference between them. And if it's difficult to tell the difference between them, we might start to suspect that the wave theorist can capture what's really driving the presentist enterprise without fully buying into presentism. So the presentist might go, yeah, I understand, I see where you're coming from. I think I could accept this theory on those grounds of that ontology. So it might well be, I can't say it'll convince every presentist, but it might well convince many presentists that it can do what they want. Second reason, a presentist might say that they're a presentist, or they might say a benefit of their view, is that it solves the problem of temporary intrinsics. So that problem is, I am sitting at one time, I'm standing at another, therefore I'm sitting and standing, therefore we get a contradiction. The presentist says that we solve this by saying that there is no sitting Nick. When I'm standing like I am now, there is no past me who was sitting. That person doesn't exist, and therefore there can't be a contradiction. And the wave theorist will accept this. They can co-opt that response. They can accept that response. When I'm standing, they too will say that there is no sitting Nick out there to contradict the fact. So they can have the same response to temporary intrinsics. They will have these four-dimensional hunks, which exist in the past and future. Unlike the standard eternalists, they should simply deny that they sit or stand in any sense, and therefore they won't have this problem of temporary intrinsics. But the big thing the wave theory can do is to provide the relevant truth makers. Have I got about 10 minutes? Is that right?
Yeah, 10 minutes.
So truth making is a presentist's big problem. That's the problem they have. Wave theory will help overcome it. To see how, we need two things. First of all, we should see how the eternalist overcomes it. So the eternalist will be worried about the truth of our sentences rather than our propositions in this case. Take a sentence like, Napoleon was once stood next to Josephine. That's true. If you're a presentist, we've got this problem. What makes that true? If there is no Napoleon and no Josephine to make it true, what does make it true? The Eternalist, focusing on that sentence, the sentence that comes out of my mouth, Napoleon was once stood next to Josephine, says that sentence, call it S, is made true by a conjunctive state of affairs. The conjunction of the following five states. There exists a four-dimensional hunk, which is Napoleon. There exists a four-dimensional hunk of matter, which is Josephine. There's a time, T, at which each of those hunks has a temporal part, NT in the case of Napoleon, JT in the case of Josephine. Those two temporal parts are next to one another. And the sentence S exists at a time later than that time T. Once you've got all five states of affairs, you've got this conjunctive state of affairs, which is the truth maker for the sentence, Napoleon was once stood next to Josephine. The wave theorist is going to say something very, very similar, but the way in which it differs is quite important, and to see how that works, we just need to briefly reconsider how constitution works. So go back to that statue, go back to that lump of clay. There's something about the lump of clay which means that it constitutes that statue. It's going to have something to do with having a certain shape and having a certain size and being a certain height and having a certain chemical composition and being sculpted by a particular sculptor. It won't just be that, because if Michelangelo carves out his David out of one block of stone and then makes an intrinsically identical block of stone, he hasn't made a lump of stone that constitutes that statue. He's made a lump of stone that constitutes a different statue. So I agree that there'll be more to it than what I've listed on that slide. But there will be some things, a conjunctive predicate that the lump falls under, in virtue of which it constitutes that statue. And we'll call that predicate CS, where S is just the name of the statue. So the statue is constituted by the lump in virtue of the lump being CS. I'm not going to sketch out exactly what CS consists in, but I've given you some examples of some bits of that conjunctive predicate. More generally, we'll have a predicate CX. So there's a predicate CNIC, which this lump of organic matter falls under, in virtue of which it constitutes Nick Effingham. So now let's go back to the wave theorist. The wave theorist will say that the instantaneous slices of the hunks constitute everyday objects. And they do so because they have certain features. You know, see Napoleon or whatever. So the instantaneous slice which constitutes Napoleon does so because it's 1.69 meters tall, it's got a certain chemical constitution, and so on and so forth. And most importantly, because it was present. At the point that slice constituted Napoleon, it was due to it having a certain height, a certain biological configuration, but also because it presently existed. That's why I was so insistent that constitution doesn't explain presentness, and why presentness partially explains constitution. So that instantaneous slice that once constituted Napoleon, when it constituted Napoleon, it fell under the predicate C Napoleon. A conjunctive predicate involving a certain height, a certain chemical composition, and being present. Say that the predicate C cap Napoleon is a predicate you fall under when you'd be C Napoleon if only you were present. So it's the C Napoleon predicate with the presentness the moved. So according to the wave theorist, lots of things are C cap Napoleon. If we go back to the early 19th century, we'll find an infinite number of slices of this Napoleon-shaped hunk, and each slice will be C-cap Napoleon. But none of them will constitute Napoleon. They're all C-cap Napoleon. They're not C-Napoleon. And they're not C-Napoleon because at the moment, None of those slices are present. They haven't got the presentness added in. That's the only ingredient they're missing from constituting Napoleon. But they have all of the other ingredients. The hunk has all these other ingredients. It's only missing the presentness. So now with that in place, we can go back to truth making. The wave theorist will concentrate on propositions rather than sentences, unlike the eternalist. So take S is a proposition that Napoleon was once next to Josephine. And it's made true by the following conjunctive state of affairs. There's a time, there's a time T. And T is earlier than now. T is earlier than the present moment, constituted by that space-time region. At T, there exist two objects, these two instantaneous slices that the eternalist believes in. The wave theorist believes in those same slices. And they say that one of those slices falls under the predicate C cap Napoleon. It has all of the features to constitute Napoleon except being present. And one of those slices is C cap Josephine. It's got all of the features needed to constitute Josephine except for being present. So it doesn't quite constitute Josephine. It's nearly there. Those two things are next to one another. And when all of those five things are true, we get that the proposition is true. So when we come to the presentist, we've got a theory that captures these presentist intuitions, that captures the kinds of things the presentists want to say. But it does better because it has these truth makers. It can do truth making in terms of these hunks, which may not be Napoleon and Josephine and may not be the dinosaurs, but have all of the salient features we need to make true statements about the dinosaurs and Napoleon and Josephine. I could say more about the moving spotlight, but I'm about to run out of time, am I?
No, about a few minutes.
Oh, yeah. A few more minutes?
Yeah.
This only takes a bit anyway. So that's how you'd be better than the presentist. Now imagine that we come to the moving spotlight theory. So you're not a presentist. You don't like presentism. You like moving spotlight theory. Moving spotlight theorists have a problem. How do they know now is now? According to the moving spotlight theorist, even though now is present, Napoleon is back in the past thinking, I presently exist. And he's got it wrong. And if he's got it wrong, maybe we've got it wrong. Maybe now isn't now. Maybe the spotlight left us 20 years ago, and actually it's 2040. These are nonsense statements. Presumably, you shouldn't even allow for that possibility. So we should have a metaphysics that excludes that. So how are we going to exclude it? Well, wave theory excludes it quite straightforwardly. The instantaneous slices, which constitute the everyday objects, they don't think. They don't think. Only people think. And these hunks, which are C-cap Napoleon, C-cap Josephine, they don't think. In the same way that the organic lump of matter doesn't think, but the person it constitutes does, those four-dimensional hunks don't think. They only end up the only things that think are the objects that are constituted by them when they become present. So how do we get out of this problem? I know now is now, because the only things that think are presently existing things. The only presently existing things are these everyday objects constituted by the lumps. So Napoleon isn't thinking back in the past. Napoleon no longer thinks at all. He doesn't even exist. And so we get this very moving spotlight theory. It's very similar to the moving spotlight theory, but without that big downside. So if you're moving spotlight theorist, I think this theory should now appeal to you. And that's it. Thank you.